I'm very happy to have Professor Richard Tolle on today's episode of Express Views. Richard is a professor of economics at the University of Sussex in Great Britain. His main research focuses on the energy economics and the economics of climate change. Good afternoon, Richard. It's a pleasure to have you here today. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Really cool to have you here. Richard, you might have seen this before, and the Express Views works like a snowball fight. I throw a question at you, and you throw the first answer that gets into your mind back at me. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Could you please briefly introduce yourself?
My name is Richard Tolle. I'm a professor of economics at the University of Sussex, and also the professor of the economics of climate change at the Free University of Amsterdam. My main research is in everything that has to do with the economics of climate change, including climate policy. I'm best known for my work on the impacts of climate change.
What do you see as your main role as a professor in environmental economics?
I think we have several roles. As a professor, of course, our main job is to teach people. I teach mostly undergraduates and masters. I also have a good few PhD students. I think that is our main role as professors. Of course, we also have to do research, which I've done over the years, try to publish papers as well as you can. And we also have a certain obligation towards society, who after all pays our salaries, reasonably handsomely so, to take part in the wider debate about environmental policy and climate policy and try to improve that to the best of our ability, both towards the general public as a sort of an outreach and education role, but also specific advice to whomever asks for that advice. But of course, we're doing essentially applied public policy, so we're mostly advising governments.
Yes, really an all-around job, yeah?
It is, yeah. And then, of course, we also have to run the university and so on and so forth.
What is your favorite article in environmental economics?
That is a difficult question because there are many. And I'm not the sort of person who goes for hero worship or something like that. So it's not that I think, oh my God, this is the best paper ever. That's just not how my mind works. But if you force me to make a choice, then it's probably Schelling 1992, Some Economics of Global Warming. The good thing about that paper, or maybe it's the bad thing about that paper, is that in 8 pages or so, Schelling tells us everything we need to know about the economics of climate change. And basically, everything that has come after derives from this particular paper.
That's a good point. Nice paper, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
What book should every environmental economist have read?
It's a very similar question, right? and frankly, I do not know the answer to that. The book that I like best, or the book that most shaped me perhaps, or the books that have most shaped me as an environmental economist are actually not written by economists. And one is Hubert Lam's book about the impact of climate change in the past, and climate change in the past is a pretty old book. I think it's from the 60s. And the second one is an even older book by Lucien Lefebvre, I believe from 1922, The Geography of History, where Lefebvre sort of makes mincemeat of environmental determinism. Those are the two books that I think impressed me most. But that, of course, does not imply that it would impress others and they should read them. But those are the two books that come to mind that I really enjoyed reading and I think are really, really important, really, really relevant.
Yeah, I never heard of either of the two, so I definitely have to put them on my reading list. What do you think is your own biggest contribution to environmental economics?
Well, I would not say it's my biggest contribution, but it is the work that I think should be the biggest contribution. If you would ask somebody else what they all do, they probably talk about the social cost of carbon or estimates of the total impact of climate change. Those are my most cited papers, right? I think, and going back to Schelling, I think my main contribution is the quantification of how vulnerability to climate change varies with development. That has not made a large impact on the field. Hopefully it hasn't made a large impact yet. But if you take Nordhaus's DICE model, then he assumes that the impact of climate change is a function of the size of GDP and warming, and that's it. And vulnerability is essentially constant. If you get twice as rich, you're twice as vulnerable in monetary terms. And the income elasticity is essentially zero. At the same time, everybody claims that poor people are more vulnerable to climate change. So that would imply that if people in the future are richer than they are now, then they would be less vulnerable to climate change. But in Nordhaus's work, that is not included. And basically, or almost everybody in this literature adopts the Nordhaus assumption that income elasticity is zero, which completely flies in the face of anything we know about the impacts of climate change. It's sort of mathematically convenient, and you avoid multiple equilibria and so on and so forth, but it's also completely wrong. And I've written a bunch of papers about this. That people cite sometimes, but do not really take the message on board. They say, yeah, we assume the income elasticity to be zero for an alternative assumption C. So that is what I think should be my main contribution to this field. It isn't, but I think it should be.
So a good point. Poor are impacted in a different way, and how to account for this over time when they get richer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the most pressing environmental problem, and how can it be solved?
Two answers. The most pressing environmental problem is poverty, which is not an environmental issue, but it is the most pressing problem, and a lot of environmental problems come, as well as the consequences of environmental problems, come from poverty. But if you say, well, what kills most people? Then it's air pollution, both indoor and outdoor, not climate change or biodiversity or anything like that. What kills people is indoor and outdoor air pollution, and a rational world would focus on that rather than on climate change or other environmental problems.
Okay, we'll have some options to discuss about this later mm-hmm. in the longer interview. If you could be then the UK Environmental or Finance Minister, what would you do?
This is a loaded question, right? But if I were the finance minister of a country, would I focus on the environment in the UK at the moment? No, absolutely not. I would try to reverse Brexit if I were in the cabinet, right? Or make immigration policy more humane. That would be my priorities. In terms of what are the big environmental issues in the UK at the moment, it is actually water quality. That is probably the biggest environmental problem in the UK. The UK has fairly solid environmental laws and regulations, but fairly weak enforcement. And that particularly shows up in surface waters. It's a beautiful country, but you would not want to swim in the rivers in England. And you really would not, nothing to do with the temperature and everything to do with all the stuff that is floating in the water. That is probably the biggest priority. In terms of climate, the biggest issue in the UK is its poor housing stock. Houses in the UK are built or have been built over the years to fairly low standards, and still the current standards aren't great. So we have poorly insulated houses in what is, after all, not very warm climate. and therefore very high energy use, as well as very high energy poverty. With lots of damp and people going cold over winter and getting falling ill. Or, and that is another thing that we see, having to choose between whether to feed their children or heat their house. So in terms of energy and climate, that is probably the biggest issue. But I would argue that the biggest environmental issue is surface water quality.
Now, this is somewhat related. What is the correct price on carbon?
Well, anybody who would give you an answer to that question is a charlatan, right? We don't know. What we do know, and I mean, I've published a couple of meta-analyses on this, so I know the data reasonably well. The estimates in the literature vary between minus 1,000 and plus $10 million dollars per ton of carbon. Yes, per ton of carbon. I would say that if you sort of take middle of the road from the published estimates and set your model to reasonable, widely accepted parameters, then it measured in many tens or a few hundreds of dollars per ton of carbon, somewhere in that range. But anybody who gives you a precise number, I mean, it's not just that the uncertainties about future climate change are so large and about its impact and how to monetize these things. There's very large uncertainties plus incomplete assessments and incomplete understanding of key processes. But it's also just key parameters where reasonable people can reasonably disagree. The rate of risk aversion that you assume, discount rate that you assume, the inequity aversion that you assume, are just three of those, right? That you can't give a precise answer to this.
Yeah, I agree, it's complicated, huh? Trick question.
Mm-hmm.
In the climate change debate, who is right, Stern or Nordhaus?
Well, that's a very easy question, right? People take issue with Stern over his paternalism, that he thinks he has the right to prescribe a discount rate to the world, while, by the way, not living up to his own prescription in his personal life. So that is just, I think, very peculiar that he gets away with that. But then also, if you look at what is actually going on in the Stern report and the quality of the estimates that he made, and there's actually just computational errors in the Stern review that were never corrected. I don't think there's any debate. Stern did not have a track record in environmental economics when he wrote the Stern review, and that sort of shows in the report. But he also, despite the tens of millions in research funding that he's gotten since, a lot of the money was actually wasted on all sorts of everything, but not good research. So, no, there's absolutely no debate. If you have to choose between Stern and Nordhaus, then Nordhaus is by far the intellectual superior of Stern, by far higher quality research. But also much more honest in, I believe, in how he presents his research findings.
And if we are talking about the, let's say, pure ethical underpinnings, who of the two?
I mean, you can sort of say, Stern argues for a low discount rate, but then doesn't work this through consistently in his analysis, right? If you argue for a low discount rate, then you should somehow accommodate for the fact of how did the world grow, right? How did the world economy grow? If you use such a low discount rate, it doesn't make any sense. And Nordhaus actually did a paper on that where he recalibrates the Stern review so that it's consistent with past data, right? Also from an ethical perspective, you can sort of say, well, Stern argues with many philosophical and theological authorities that the discount rate should be low, right? And Stern was absolutely not the first to say this. I mean, this is Aristotle, this is St. Augustine, this is Thomas Aquinas, this is Mohammed, who have all said the same thing. But it is it's also clear that this is not what people do. So in that sense, it is a very paternalistic attitude that some guy who happens to come from a very rich and influential family, who is educated in Cambridge, was trained to be a colonial administrator, comes and tells us what to do. Like, who is he, right? And you could argue, and I hope I'm not offending anybody, you could argue the same about Aristotle. Who is he? Why should we follow Aristotle's advice on him, on anything, right? If you read Aristotle's views on slavery and women, you would think this is a person I would strongly disagree with. So why would you agree that Aristotle, or for that matter, Augustine or Aquinas or Mohammed on anything? The fact that they argue for a low discount rate does not mean that I have to follow them. And I don't accept their authority in any part of this. So why should I follow them on the discount rate? And definitely the idea that some civil servant tries to prescribe how other people should discount their future utility, I think is wrong.
I think there can be a big debate on this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to know your point.
Mm-hmm.
Which environmental economist do you admire the most?
That's without a doubt Marty Weitzman. I think that Weitzman, although he only later in life became to define himself as an environmental economist, right? The number of contributions that he's made, as well as the clarity of definitely the younger Weitzman, and the force of the older Weizmann, I, without a doubt, he is the one we should all look up to.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, with whom would you like to write your next article?
I don't know. I've written papers with a great many people. I particularly enjoy working with new talents. The one paper that I'm looking forward to most at the moment is with this guy called Fangzhi Wang, who you've never heard of because he is a first year PhD candidate. But I think it's going to be a very nice paper. So that is what I'm looking forward to most. I am, as I said already, I'm not the sort of guy who wants to really get involved with famous people or something like that. That doesn't impress me at all. I've also have a paper out with Tim Kitland that's going to be out soon. And I think, yeah, nice, Nobel laureate, right? Famous guy, nice guy. I'm looking much more forward to working with Fangzhi on what is a difficult technical problem, and I hope we're going to solve it.
That's a nice thing. That's a good thing to be, yeah, just working with the ones that you like.
Mm-hmm.
If you could spend 1 hour with a person of your choice, who would it be?
Well, it would not be an economist for sure, because most economists are by now predictable to me, right? I don't know who I would want to spend time with. There's people you admire, right? Who you actually do not want to spend time with. I am a big fan of Lou Reed, for instance. Now I can't spend time with him because he died, but also in his personal relationships, he's an asshole, right? So I don't know how to answer that question.
Okay.
I like spending time with my wife and kids.
That is nice.
I wish I had more hours. I do.
Richard, I really enjoyed your, I would say, even challenging answers. I invite those of you who would like to get to know more details about Richard, his research and ideas, to take a look at the Meet Top Environmental Economist interview series, where we also are featuring Richard, and you can find it on my website. Richard, thank you so much for having been here today.
Thank you for having me.